Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great day. Today is show number 375. Today in the studio with me, I have Dr. Uday Nouri, a nephrologist and assistant professor of medicine at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, and we're going to discuss National Kidney Month. We're going to learn what precautions, if any, your dentist needs to take if you have kidney disease and gain some insight about kidney transplants and donation. All right, let me just introduce you to Dr. Nouri. He has this really long CV, and I'm not going to have time for all of it, but as I mentioned, he's at the OSU Wexner Medical Center. He's an assistant professor of medicine, division of nephrology, which means he's a kidney doctor. And he has, oh my goodness, there's just such a long list. You know what? I think what we're going to do is save this so that we can get with it to the topic, but we'll get to some of this stuff later. Some of these words I can't pronounce anyway. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
And thank you for coming in. I really, really appreciate it.
I'm very glad to be here.
And so I didn't even know March was Kidney Month. Tell me about that, National Kidney Month.
Well, we all need a specific moment to raise that awareness of kidney disease among the community. And all the national associations have nominated March to be that month where we do a lot of activities out in the community and doing radio programs like this. And we like to be able to direct people's attention to the kidney disease and how important it is.
Hey, let me remind folks that we are also streaming live video on ustreamtv.com, or you can go to dentallyspeaking.com and click on the little panel that says Live Sunday Mornings. It's a bluish green panel. Click on that and the show will start. You'll be able to see us. All right. So, you know, as I was preparing for this show, I happened to notice that there's about 26 million Americans who already have kidney disease, and most of them don't even know it. And the reason is because there's no symptoms until the disease has progressed. That was really surprising to me. That was kind of scary. So how dangerous is it to be going around undiagnosed kidney disease?
It turns out very dangerous because the kidney disease progresses from stage one, which is a very mild and early stage, all the way to stage five, where people are in need of either dialysis or kidney transplantation. This particular kidney disease awareness became much more important perhaps about a decade and a half ago, where many, many clinical studies have started showing a very strong connection between having kidney disease and having cardiovascular disease, meaning presence of kidney disease increases the individual's chance of having heart attacks, congestive heart failure, and so on and so forth. That connection made it not only very, very important, but it's urgent that people start understanding their risk of kidney disease.
So if you have heart disease, should they then do a blood test to find out if you also have kidney disease?
It works in the opposite way, meaning if you do a urine test or a blood test and find out that they have early stage kidney disease, there is a very high risk of having cardiovascular disease in the future. And we try to prevent that risk by slowing down the progression of the kidney disease and try to keep them healthy and do what we call risk modification. If they have risk factors such as high cholesterol and high blood pressure, we like to focus our attention on those risk factors.
Okay, so now what should somebody do if they're listening and they think, well, I wonder if I have kidney disease?
The people who are at the highest risk of having kidney disease, which appears to be one out of every three Americans, because a large number of Americans now have hypertension, high blood pressure, or diabetes, they are the ones who have to be very careful. So every time they go to their primary care physician which they should, once every 6 months or so, they should specifically ask their doctors to do a urine study and a blood study to see if they have already established kidney disease or not.
And this is not something that's normally part of their routine physical?
So it turns out there was a study that was published in 2005 where when they looked at general population who go to their primary care doctors, the chances that they get a cholesterol checked would be about 90%. The chances that they get a blood sugar checked would be about 80%. But the chances that they get a kidney test, like a creatinine, that is a blood test that we do, is only about 50%.
50?
Yeah, so that is one of the reasons why we try to educate the primary care community as well, that it's a simple blood test, a simple urine test. That's all it takes to detect or a screen for kidney disease.
So why would you say they're not doing it or doing it only half the time? Is it something that's not covered by insurance, or are they just forgetting or don't realize how important it is?
It is, I think, to do with the perception of whether a human being is at risk for kidney disease or not. When you see a relatively healthy individual who's coming into the office for a routine physical, it may not occur to the physician that, oh, maybe this person has a chance of having a kidney disease. Because most people know the word cholesterol. In fact, if you take an average 40-year-old human being who's in generally good health, they probably remember what their cholesterol is. But if you tell them that there is something called creatinine, they probably draw a blank.
Okay.
So it's up to the patient as well when they go to the hospitals or clinics for them to ask that specific question saying, do I have kidney disease or not?
You know, what you said reminds me of a conversation I've had with some of my younger associates over the years. Every morning we sit down with all of our charts and we look at everybody's x-rays, their photographs of their teeth and their face photos so we know who we're dealing with, and everybody knows. And oftentimes they'll bring up a picture of a patient and they'll put up their x-rays and say, oh, well, she's always pretty healthy. And I'd go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't mean we don't want to, like, still check. We still want to get these x-rays, and we still want to make sure we're thorough. It is easy, I think, to fall into that trap of, this person's always healthy, so why would I be doing all these tests, right?
It is correct. In fact, many times when I do evaluations for kidney transplantation, by the way, I'm a full-time transplant kidney doctor as well.
Oh, so you do the transplant surgery?
I don't do the surgery, but I do everything else. The evaluation and preparation for transplantation, and I follow patients long-term to protect their kidney from getting rejected. So when I do the evaluations, it's common for me to see these individuals with diabetes for a long time, and when I ask them, when did you find out that you had kidney disease? And most of the time the answer is, oh, 6 months before I started dialysis, or 2 days before I started dialysis.
Wow.
It turns out, even for those individuals with the highest amount of kidney disease, meaning hypertension or high blood pressure patients and diabetics, it doesn't look like they're able to detect their own kidney disease early on.
They don't have symptoms
enough to be able to take preventive measures.
So they don't have symptoms. There's nothing telling them I have an issue. Like, they can still urinate properly. They can still run and dance and play and go to work and go to school. And
see, that's the reason why the definition of screening does not include symptoms. Screening is, as an English word, we use it to be able to do testing in asymptomatic individuals. People do not have any physical symptoms or signs. Because if they have symptoms, if they're not feeling well, the word screening does not apply to them. Then you're actually doing medical workup.
And you're treating them.
Correct.
Okay.
So screening means asymptomatic individuals.
All right. So if you're listening, next time you see your physician, you need to ask them specifically to check for kidney disease.
And it takes only a urine test and a blood test for a substance called creatinine.
Okay, now let me ask you, on the urine sample, is that something that needs to be fasting, like the first urine passing of the morning?
No.
Oh, they can, when they get to the doctor's office, if it wasn't on the doctor's office's radar screen and they say, can you do a kidney test?
Yes. Or
they can say, here's a cup, go pee in it.
Correct. And then all they do is use a dipstick, dip into the urine and wait for color changes, and if the dipstick detects any blood or protein, then of course at that point we will have to do much more detailed workup to not only establish the presence of kidney disease but also to look for what is causing it.
Okay. All right. Now when we come back, we're going to talk more about what I can do as a dentist if I can identify anything in my dental office, and also the kinds of things that may affect my ability to treat a patient if I know they have kidney disease. But before we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And so you might want to remember that, according to Dr. Noori, Am I saying that right? Is it Nori or Nuri?
Yeah, you can say it both ways.
Well, how do you say it?
Nori.
Nori.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Nori. So according to Dr. Nori and the Kidney Foundation, more than 26 million Americans who already have kidney disease, and most of them don't even know it because there are no symptoms until the disease has progressed. All right? So remember that. All right.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
I was scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of dentists and the dark.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right, and today's question is a true or false question. According to our guest this morning, Dr. Uday Nori, a nephrologist and assistant professor of medicine at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, about 26 million Americans have kidney disease, and most of them don't even know it because there are no symptoms until the disease has progressed. Is that true or false? All right, now the winner is going to receive free flowers from Weistember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
At Dr. Kvitko & Associates, a lot of people ask us if we're accepting new patients. They know we've been in business for 34 years and assume we're not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. We do accept new patients. After all, if we're doing our job correctly, we get our patients healthy, so all they need are routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. That leaves us free to take care of you. So yes, we do take new patients, and we would love to take care of you, your family, and your friends. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
I bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
ただいま、あなたのお気に入りの番組から、ドクター・クビッコのデンタリースピーキングをお送りしています。
All right, we're back. We're doing Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, and we have Jennifer on the phone. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Morning. How are you? I'm fine.
Good, good. So what is the answer to our question?
It's true.
It is true. Did you know that?
I just knew that a lot of people have kidney disease that don't know it. I didn't know what the percentage was.
That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Right.
And Jennifer, what do you do for a living?
I'm retired. I used to be an event planner for Ohio Health.
Oh, okay. Cool. Hey, well, thank you for listening, first of all. And then secondly, stay on the line so we can get that information about where to send the flowers from Weistember, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so Dr. Nori, tell me, you know, okay, so as a dentist, you know, I need to be on top of my patient's medical history because I want to provide them the best care, of course. Are there any signs of undiagnosed kidney disease that I might pick up on during my interaction with them? I know that jaundice, for example, is a sign of like of liver disease but there's truly nothing, even if I'm working, you know, 3 inches from their face, that I'm going to notice?
Very unlikely, unless someone has very advanced kidney disease. Again, if they're asymptomatic, there is something called a uremic breath. Some people
are able to... uremic breath.
Correct. And okay. That's, again, a very advanced stage sign. You may be able to actually detect that they have a specific malodorous breath.
Okay.
Which is kind of specific towards, but it's very hard to use that as a as a way of detecting that they have kidney disease. But if you have, or if you are able to detect high blood pressures in your patients, in case they are getting a blood pressure check, a very high blood pressure would be indicative of...
Above 180?
I would say anything above 150.
150. Oh, yeah. Okay, so 150 would be systolic. So like 150 over...
Over 90.
Okay, 150 over 90, that and above, we would probably refer them to their physician anyway if we got a blood pressure at that level.
Correct.
And we do take blood pressures on everybody that we're about to sedate.
Correct.
In fact, we keep them hooked up to the EKG with the automatic blood pressure.
Right.
So we're good there.
But there are a whole host of other symptoms or signs that you may be able to detect which are not common. They may have swelling of their feet. They may have swelling around their eyes in case... they already, again, have advanced kidney disease. You may be able to sometimes see them having a very dry skin with what we call the uremic frost. Again, a very advanced sign.
Okay.
But it's not something that we would depend on. Physical signs, meaning physical examination, is not something we depend on heavily to detect kidney disease.
Now, does this person have trouble urinating? Do they go more often, less often? Are there any things, is there anything that a person could...
All of those are red flags. Absolutely, they're all red flags, but none of them would be very specific.
Okay.
But it's what we're talking about. We're talking about screening. So if you have anyone with urinary abnormalities, always a good idea to take it further and ask them to go through a very quick checkup, which is simple and inexpensive.
Okay. Now, what if I know my patient has kidney disease? Are there any precautions I should take while treating them?
Again, not particularly. We believe that people who have kidney disease probably have a little higher bleeding complication than the usual.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah, if I'm doing an extraction
cells,
or something.
Yeah, the cells in the blood called platelets, which help to clot the blood, they don't function nearly as well as in normal health when people have kidney disease. And therefore... when they have a cut or, dental extraction, you may notice that they bleed longer than the usual. So that's probably one thing that I would keep in mind.
Okay. Because I know diabetics tend to, they're slower to heal. And so if the person tells me I'm slow to heal, then they either need to be screened for kidney disease or for diabetes.
Correct.
Right? Now, yep. I have a glucometer in my office to check their blood sugar, but it wouldn't be appropriate for a dentist to be having people go peeing in a cup. Probably not, right?
Well, you can teach people to do that in their primary care office.
Oh, you do? Oh, you teach them to do that so they can check their own?
Okay. Well, not everybody, no, obviously not. But we tell them to make sure that the primary care physicians are doing it.
Okay. And when is the best time? So let's say I know my patient is in dialysis and they need a tooth extracted or a root canal or maybe I need to do some gum surgery or something. When's the best time for them to have those procedures done? Is it right after a dialysis session, 24 hours after a dialysis session? What would be the best?
So people who are on dialysis require 3 treatments a week. And typically between the treatments, after each treatment, because they are now accumulating the so-called waste materials and the extra fluid, they tend to have higher blood pressures towards the beginning of the next treatment. So... if I were to advise them a good timing, it would be soon after the dialysis treatment. That would be a better time because they just had all that extra fluid removed and extra waste removed from their body. So they're probably in their optimal health.
Okay.
At that point.
Other than being tired from being in the dialysis center. Right. So maybe they go home, they get a good night's sleep and come back the next morning for their dental appointment.
That's a good point. Most people do feel very tired and fatigued after the dialysis treatment, but... if they are able to put up with it, it would be a good time to...
Oh, it's still best procedure. Not to let them go home first. Have them come right from dialysis if possible.
Probably.
Okay.
If they're able to put up with it.
Thanks for clearing that up for me because that's very important. Now, tell me about your history because I know you went to... well, I can't pronounce the name. So, yeah, tell me your training and that sort of thing and where you did your fellowships.
So, I did my medical training in India and I left India in 1992. Went to England and worked for the National Health Service for 3.5 years. Loved the training there. And then I came to United States in 95, worked at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. Did my medical training, my nephrology fellowship for me to become a subspecialist. Then I went to Indiana University for a year to receive my kidney pancreas transplant training. And then I came to Ohio State about 10 years ago.
Wow. So you finally wound up at the promised land.
Well, I took the scenic route, yes.
All right. Well, it looks like we have to go to another break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a lot. Hopefully we have enough time. I want to make sure we talk about this. It's so important, which is about the state of kidney donation and transplants. You know, how long is the waiting list? How can people, that sort of thing. So, all right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking. I'm Dr. Kvitko. We're here with Dr. Uday Nori, a nephrologist at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il Dr. Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we are intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in our vocabulary. We just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains. But with us, you get our 34 years of experience and our unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch.
Are your teeth crooked? And while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years. What if I told you that you could straighten your teeth in 6 months? Between now and your next cleaning, would you be interested? Call us today at 614-262-9588.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kvitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
I know you're lying, 'cause your lips are moving. Tell me, do you think I'm dumb? I might be young, but I ain't stupid. Talking around in circles with your tongue, I gave you grace.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Kvitko. This is Dentally Speaking. And today we have in the studio with us Dr. Uday Nori, a nephrologist and assistant professor of medicine at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. We are talking about kidney disease. It's National Kidney Month. We are talking about kidney transplants. We're talking about the associations, the things that I need to be thinking of as a dentist when I'm treating a kidney patient. And I do want to talk about the transplants because I think that's probably the most important part of today. But I do have a question. When I'm prescribing drugs for people that I know have kidney disease, are there any certain compounds I should avoid? Should I give them less than I would give a healthy person? Should I give them more than I would a healthy person?
This is a very important question. Thanks for asking. There are three or four different categories of medicines we absolutely avoid in people with kidney disease. That includes what we call the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, drugs such as ibuprofen, aspirin, indomethacin and such. Those are known to cause kidney disease or progress or exacerbate kidney disease. Antibiotics, there are some categories like aminoglycosides. There are some antifungal medications. They all affect kidneys quite a bit. More importantly, when people have established kidney disease, many medications require to be dosed appropriately, and pharmacists are aware of it. But unfortunately, if they don't know what they don't know, the medication doses will not be corrected. So it's important for every individual to know if they have underlying kidney damage or not.
Okay, so I should make sure my pharmacist knows, or I should tell the patient to tell the pharmacist you have kidney disease, and then they'll know to double check these doses.
Correct. And depending on the stage of the kidney disease, the dose correction would vary.
Okay. Okay. Now, you mentioned NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So no aspirin, no ibuprofen, no Aleve.
We usually allow people to have aspirin because aspirin has very important cardiovascular prevention effects.
Okay.
It's a baby aspirin, a small dose
of
aspirin.
Oh, the small one.
A small one.
Okay.
Would not hurt much.
Okay.
But large doses of aspirin, of course, we definitely would prevent.
And can you give me a couple like names of antibiotics that I would understand or that the
gentamicin and amikacin?
Okay.
Those are commonly used intravenous antibiotics in the hospital.
Okay.
Very, very toxic to the kidneys.
Okay. Now, so I might just prescribe for my patient amoxicillin or PenVK, and that's
those
okay.
Are okay.
Okay. Good. Thank you for that. All right. So let's talk about transplants. It's a big problem. There's not enough kidneys to go around. Correct.
Absolutely.
And I would have assumed that because there's so much awareness about the need for kidney transplants, that the number of available kidneys would have gone up in the last decade. But that's not true, is it?
It is not. In fact, the last two decades, the number of kidneys that are procured from deceased donors, people who have had either a brain death or heart-related complications, that number had remained relatively steady. There had been an increase in the living kidney donors, but that number has also plateaued off over the last 4 years or so. And nationally, for the past 2 years, we are seeing a trend where the number of living kidney donations have also started plummeting.
Living kidney donations.
Living kidney donations, which we actually heavily depend on because obviously the waiting list has increased enormously. There is a huge gap between the supply and the demand. Right now, as of today, there are probably about 110,000 people who are waiting for a kidney transplant on the waiting list.
How many?
About 110,000.
110,000 nationally?
But for the past several years, only about 7,000 kidney transplants were done from deceased donors. So there is a huge gap between the supply and the demand.
So why are people so hesitant about donating a kidney?
We don't know all the reasons. There are a lot of misperceptions and myths. Obviously, they have to go through a surgical procedure to donate a kidney. There's also a concern that donating one kidney would harm their remaining kidney function, that some other illnesses might befall because they donated a kidney. Or sometimes people say, well, I don't want to donate kidney at this point because my children might need my kidney afterwards. So there are a lot of misconceptions and misperceptions. It is very safe to donate kidneys. It is inexpensive, meaning the cost of the kidney donation is picked up by the recipient's insurance.
Okay.
So the donor doesn't have to have any medical costs from their own pocket. And we do provide follow-up for the kidney donors for up to 2 years after the donation.
Okay. So that should help alleviate some of the concerns. Are people citing religious concerns, or what other reasons do you know of that are circulating out there?
Not religious concerns. I think most religions would actually not stop from allowing people to donate. That's not been a problem. But I think the major perception is that they do not know enough about how safe it is. Most people do not even call a professional to ask questions. I wish if only more and more people actually make use of all the resources available for living kidney donors. That includes our medical institutions, such as where I work at the Comprehensive Transplant Center at Ohio State University. But they can also go to www.kidney.org. That's the National Kidney Foundation's website. They have a ton of information there about the safety and the importance of kidney donation. There is a unos.org. That's the United Network of Organ Sharing. They have a ton of information as well. If only people make use of those resources, it should be much more easy for them to make that decision.
We're down to about a minute, maybe a minute and 15 or 30 seconds. So rather than me ask you another question, tell me what you want people to know. What would the parting thought be, the most important things that you think people ought to take from this show?
If I were to really give a concise message, having kidney disease is bad enough. Having to be on dialysis or receiving a transplant is bad enough. But I want the public and the primary care groups to be well aware that having kidney disease is also a very important risk factor for having heart disease. We believe that prevention of kidney disease actually saves a lot of lives from having to have heart failure or heart attacks and issues similar to that. So when you think of your kidneys, think about your heart. It's a very important connection, and I'd like that to be a very important message today.
Perfect. That's wonderful. And I want to thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Our kidneys do so much more for us than I think we realize. I was reading that they filter out 200 liters of blood each day. Think about that, like a liter of pop. Everybody can picture a liter container, and 200 of those get filtered every day. And they remove blood, body salts, potassium and acid content from our blood. They remove drugs from our body. They balance the body's fluids, release hormones that regulate blood pressure. It's just a lot that we just kind of take for granted.
Which is why when kidneys fail, many other systems in the body fail as well.
Got it. Okay, well, this is really great. I'm so glad you came on the show, and hopefully we've got people out there with some newfound information. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kvitko. Be sure to join me next Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588, or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.